बुद्धं शरणं गच्छामि, धम्मं शरणं गच्छामि, संघं शरणं गच्छामि। अप्रमत्ता सतेमन्तो सुशीला होत भिक्खवो, सुसमाहित संकप्पो सचित्त मनुरक्खत, यो इमस्मिन् धम्म विनये अप्रमत्तो विहस्यते, पहाय जाति संसारं दुःखसंतं करिष्यति। फ्रेंड्स, टुडे इज द सिक्स्थ डे ऑफ अवर रिट्रीट। The sixth day is over. Now, at the end of the day, this is the time for us for the Dhamma talk. As you all know, we started the Tenfold Path yesterday. Of the Tenfold Path, yesterday we talked about the first one, that is Sammaditti. Right understanding. So today for this Dhamma talk, our topic is Samma Sankappa, right thoughts. Sometimes it is translated as right intention, but here we use the term thoughts. Right thoughts. What are the right thoughts? There are three types of right thoughts. The Buddha said in Pali first, Nekkamma Sankappo, Avyapada Sankappo, Avihinsa Sankappo. Nekkamma means renunciation, thought of renunciation. Nekkamma Sankappo. Then Avyapada Sankappo. Avyapada is non-ill will, thought of non-ill will. Then Avihinsa Sankappo. Avihinsa means non-violence, thought of non-violence. So renunciation, thought of non-ill will, thought of non-violence, non-cruelty, in other words. So these are called Samma Sankappa, right thoughts. You know, we cannot talk about Samma Sankappa without Michcha Sankappa. There are Michcha Sankappa also. They are called not Michcha Sankappa, Michcha Vitakka. Those are called Vitakka. Sankappa and Vitakka, these both are used like interchangeably, they are used. But mostly, vitakka are negatives. Negative thoughts. Unwholesome thoughts. So, vitakka, you know, in jhana, when you talk about jhana, there is one factor, jhanic factor, that is called vitakka. The first one is called vitakka. Like vitakka, vichara, piti, sukha. Those are the factors according to the discourses. Now, vitakka are three types. Kama vitakka, vyapada vitakka, vihinsa vitakka. They are opposite. Those are the opposite of sankappa. So, what are the three? Kama vitakka. Kama vitakka are thoughts of sensual desire. Sensual desire. Thoughts of sensual desire. Kama vitakka. Then vyapada vitakka. Thoughts of ill will. Vyapada vitakka. Then thoughts of cruelty. Or violence. Cruelty. Those are called vihinsa vitakka. Vihinsa. Kama vitakka, vyapada vitakka, vihinsa vitakka. Whatever, all these are thoughts. whether good or bad, those are thoughts, all those are thoughts. That is why they are called sankappa. Sankappa has another meaning, that is conception. Conception, concepts, different concepts, thoughts. You conceptualize and then what happens? Verbalize. Without thinking you cannot talk. First you have to think, you have to conceptualize, then you verbalize. So thoughts, whatever these thoughts, whatever we think something pertaining to these five aggregates. Without five aggregates, we cannot think of anything. Once the Buddha said, sometimes there are people, they develop their mind. They develop their mind to read, to understand, to recollect their previous lives. They recollect their previous lives, thousands, millions, billions lifetime. One can read. But what? About what? About five aggregates. Without five aggregates, without five aggregates, we cannot think of anything. Whatever you remember, whatever you recollect even in the past life, you are recollecting of something what you did in the past life. How you did, how you eat, how you drink, how you played, how you associate with others. Something referring to these five aggregates. That is the nature. So all the concept, all these thoughts, thoughts are based on five aggregates. Thoughts are the result of our mind, right? When we think without mind, we cannot think anything, right? So now, all these thoughts, whatever we think, our thoughts, all these thoughts are good and bad. We can categorize into two groups, good thoughts and bad thoughts. So this is the problem. Now, everybody has this problem. Thinking, when we go to meditate, this is the problem. So, in the time of the Buddha, there was a monk named Meghya. One day he went to the Buddha. He was then Buddha's attendant monk. You know the Buddha's attendant monk was the famous one, is Venerable Ananda. But early days, Buddha had several other monks as his attendants. So by that time, Meghya was the attendant monk. One day he went to the Buddha and said, Venerable Sir, I would like to go to Pindapatha. Pindapatha, what is Pindapatha? Arms round. Pindapatha. Do you know the meaning Pindapatha? Pinda is fist. Path is drop. So those days, people in India, when the monks come to their home, they take some food, one fistful, and put it in the monk bowl, arms bowl. That is why it is called Pindapatha. So arms round, arms given. So he asked the Buddha whether he can go to the particular village to collect his arms. Then the Buddha said, it's alright, you can go there. And then he went to that particular village named Kimikala. That village, he went to the Kimikala village and he collected arms. And he had his meal. After meal, he walked along the river, Kimikala river, on the bank of the river. While he was walking, he saw a very beautiful, charming mango garden. It's a very beautiful place, charming, pleasing place. So he wanted to, he thought that, oh, this is a wonderful place to practice meditation. If I can come here and practice meditation, this would be better. So I should ask the Buddha and come back and practice. Then he went back to the temple and asked the Buddha whether he can go and practice that place. Then the Buddha said, now there is no any other monk here with me, So could you please wait another monk? Then he said, well, Buddha has done everything. Buddha has nothing to do anything more. Buddha has completed his journey and he has nothing to add. We have to practice. We know the importance. We want to practice. However, he then, after a while, he asked the same question for the second time. Then again the Buddha said, there is no any other monk with me. Could you please wait a while for another monk? Again he said the same thing. Buddha has done all everything. Buddha has nothing to do any further. But we have to practice. We have to head. So, third time he went there and asked. Then the Buddha said, now okay, if you think that it is a better time for you to go there, you can practice, go there and practice. Then he went to that place to practice. He went there with, you know, too much hope, and he went there to practice. You know what happened, if you sit for meditation with too much hope, that is what. He went there and he sat cross-legged, started to practice. Finally, was practicing, many thoughts, many sensual thoughts pop up. He couldn't practice. He started to think sensual thoughts. Vitakka, these are called vitakka. Many thoughts arose in him. That place, that mango grove, in his previous life, he was a prince. That was his pleasure garden in his previous life. Now that is why in this life, when he saw this place, he wanted to go there and practice. So however, what I wanted to show you, was that it is the nature. Everybody has this sort of barrier, this problem. Thoughts, unnecessary thoughts come in. Thinking, all unnecessary thinking. Another monk named Sangharakkhita. Sangharakkhita was an elder monk named Sangharakkhita. He was an enlightened one. He had a nephew. He wanted to get his ordination. So he came to his uncle and asked his ordination. Then he was ordained. Now the little one, he was named the same name, Sangharakkhita, but he was called Bhagineya Sangharakkhita. That means Nevyu Sangharakkhita. So however, after his ordination, after several years, he was invited by some other people to another temple for a rains retreat. Rains retreat is the monks, they observe 3 months retreat. That is called rains retreat. So he was invited for another temple, so he went there and he lived there for 3 months. At the end of the retreats, the people offered him two different robes. So he received these two robes and came back to his uncle's place, his teacher's place, with the idea of offering one robe to his teacher. Now when he came and when he went to offer the robe, the teacher said that, no, I don't want robe any more robe, because I have enough robe now, I don't want. So he thought that teacher has some bad terms, like he's angry with me or he's not in good terms with me. However, he thought he got it wrong, and he thought that if my teacher is not friendly with me, how can I stay? He had sort of upset mind. Then the teacher is enlightened now, but his disciples, he did not know this. Now the teacher knew his mentality, and the teacher lying down on a bed, he asked his disciples to fan him. You know, the monks have a pan, special pan made of palm leaves. So he was asked to fan the teacher. Now he is fanning the teacher. Fanning, but thinking. He is thinking. He is thinking too many things. Now the teacher sees his mind. As he is an enlightened person, he sees his mind. Now he thinks, no use of staying in this order. I should disrobe. I should disrobe and I will sell these two robes. And then I will buy a cow. He thinks now. This novice, right? This monk. He is thinking, I will buy a cow. And then there will be some cows. Then I can sell them and get some more profits and money. And then I will buy some goats. That is how in Asia, you know, how the people think. Then I will buy some goats. After that, I will be able to buy a cart and the two options for the cart. And then I will get marry a beautiful girl. And after a year or two, then we will have a child. With the child, now then I want to go to see my mother and father, my parents. And then when I go with my wife, my child, and on the cart we go with different candy, different, you know, things, cakes and all these things. We go on the way. Sometime by mistake, the wife might fall the child, right? If she falls the child, I will hit her like this. And he thought that I will hit her with a stick. I will hit like this, thinking he hit when that bante, that venerable. His thoughts, you know, his thoughts. He was thinking all these things and thinking that he is hitting his wife. He hit the bante, that bante. Then that bante, that venerable sir, stalled, Sangharagata, thinking that you are beating your wife, you beat me, this old man. You beat me. Then he started to run away. And other monks caught him and brought him to the Buddha. Then the Buddha said, this is the nature of mind. Kyanin fa durang gamang eka charang asarirang guhasayang ye chittang sanya messanti mokkanti marabandana. That is how the Buddha said. Durang gamang, this mind, it recollects many things. Durangama, far and far. Durangama. Eka charam. Wherever it roams alone. No companions to this mind. Eka charam. Asarirang, no body. For this mind, there is no body. Guhasayam, it dwells in this cave. This body. Guhasya. Ye chittang sanya missanti. If one guards this mind, sanya missanti, mokkanti marabandhanam, he will release from the bonds of mara. That is how the Buddha said. So that is how these thoughts, all these thoughts, yes? Mokkanti marabandhanam, release from bonds of Mara. Bonds of Mara. So this is how the different thoughts. Everybody has these thoughts. So the Buddha in the Dhammapada, Buddha said this sankappa, this thought, there are these two types of thoughts, Michcha Sankappa and Samma Sankappa. Wrong thoughts and right thoughts. Referring to this, in the Dhammapada, Buddha said, Asare Saramatino, Sare Chasara Dassino, Te Sarang Nadigachanti, Michcha Sankappa Gochara. Asara means unessential. Unessential thing. Asare saramatino. Mistakenly, some people take what is unessential as essential. Unessential as essential. Asare saramatino. Sare cha asara dasino. What is essential, they see unessential. So, sare cha asara dasino. Te sarang nadigachanti. Buddha says, Te sarang nadigachyati. They never come to essential. Why? Michcha sankappa gochara. Because of their michcha sankappa, wrong thoughts. Then it's opposite. Sarancha sarato nyatva. Having understood what is essential as essential. Asarancha asarato. What is unessential as unessential. Asarancha asarato. Te sarang adigachanti. Then they come to essential. Why? Samma sankappa gochara. Because of their right thoughts, good thoughts. Samma sankappa gochara. This is how we have to understand good thoughts and bad thoughts. Referring to good thoughts and bad thoughts, Buddha has delivered special discourses, two special discourses in the Majjhima Nikaya. We get these two discourses from Majjhima Nikaya. So, to understand this, as we all have this problem, thoughts, unnecessary thoughts, when we come to meditate, when you sit to meditation, we have thoughts. So how to curb, how to control these thoughts? Buddha explained how to control these thoughts. So this is very important. I don't want to take the whole discourses, two discourses, as time we have no much time. I want to take the summary of the discourses, the gist of the discourses. Let's take the discourses, then take these two discourses are, the first one is Dvidha Vitakka Sutta. Dvidha Vitakka Sutta. The second one is Vitakka Santana. Vitakka Santana Sutta. So let's take the first one. Let's understand what the Buddha said. How these thoughts should be controlled. Thoughts should be understood. Now in this sutta, Dvidha Vitakka Sutta, the Buddha said, monks, still I was an unenlightened bodhisattva. It occurred to me, it is better I divide these different thoughts into two groups, two parts. So, before his attainment of enlightenment, still he was a bodhisattva. He was the bodhisattva then. Now, he thought, it is better I divide these thoughts, different thoughts, whenever the thoughts arise, I should divide these into two. That is how the Buddha said. Then, Buddha said, I then divide these thoughts. I set on one side the good thoughts. I set on the other side the bad thoughts. One side, the good thoughts, I put the Nekkamma Sankappa, Avyapada Sankappa, Avihinsa Sankappa. Whatever thoughts, good thoughts, renunciation thought, good thought, and non-ill will, non-cruelty, I put them one side. Thought of renunciation, thought of non-ill will, thought of non-cruelty, one side. And then I put the others in on the other side. Sensual desire. The first one is sensual desire, then ill will and cruelty. This type of thoughts,
the other side.
So two groups. And then he further explains, whenever, while I was practicing, whenever a thought of desire, thought of sensual desire arises, I thought, now this thought is a sensual desire. This is a thought of sensual desire. Now this thought is an affliction to me. An affliction to me. It's harmful to me. This thought arose now, and this is harmful to me. It's an affliction to me. Then it is an affliction to others. Then it is an affliction to both me and others. Three. And then he thought, this is an obstruction for my wisdom. This leads away from Nibbana. Five things. And also it brings difficulties. Of course, six things. Let's see, six. This leads to my affliction. This leads to others' affliction. This leads to affliction of both. This is an obstruction for my wisdom. And this causes difficulties. And this leads away from Nibbana. In such a way, I thought, the Buddha said, in such a way, I thought. Whenever I thought that this is harmful, this leads to my affliction, that thought subsided. It vanishes. That is what happened. The Buddha said, whenever I thought that it is harmful, it is affliction, it leads to my affliction, then that thought subsided. It's vanished. Then, whenever the thought of ill will arises, he did the same thing. Whenever the thought of cruelty arises, he did the same thing. So, all unwholesome thoughts, he thought in such a way and subsided, and then such thoughts paved the way, vanished. The Buddha said, monks, whatever, it is the nature of this mind that whatever we think frequently, the mind has that inclination. That inclination. Whatever we think frequently, the mind grasps it. That is the inclination of mind. So this is very true. Once there were two persons named Punna and Senior. They came to the Buddha. They were ascetics. Punna was an ascetic who observed, who practiced the asceticism of cow. Like a cow, he observed cow ascetic. That is, like a cow, he has to, when he observes it, he has to behave as a cow. So he used to behave as a cow. And the other person was a dog. He observed the dog's asceticism. So these two were ascetics. One is like a cow, the other is like a dog. So wherever they go, they behave as cow and dog. Now the Punna and Senya, they both went to the Buddha, and then Punna asked, Venerable Sir, now this person, the Senya, he observed this sort of ascetic ritual. So he observed this, and he now behave as a dog. So for many years now, he has been observing this. Now he is, wherever he goes, he eats like a dog, he urinates like a dog, he, whenever he wants to sit, he make a circle and sit like a dog, and that's it. No, they both were naked as a thing. They don't use any clothes. When this person asked, my venerable sir, what happened to him after his death? Then the Buddha kept silence. Buddha said, let's talk something else. Buddha did not want to say that. Then second time he asked, what happened to him? What will happen? Then second time Buddha kept silent. And the third time he asked, then the Buddha said, you see, now he is thinking as a dog. Now he is thinking as a dog. He behaves as a dog. He eats as a dog. He drinks as a dog. And everything he does as a dog. His mind, his mentality is now inclination into that. His mentality is like a dog. Then what happened? After his death, he will be born with dogs. That is what happened. Because of the inclination of mind. If you think something frequently, the mind clings to that. That is the nature of this mind. That is why we normally say that we want to do good deeds, more and more good deeds. If you do more and more good deeds, you can think of it even at the end of the life. Even just before the last breath, we can think of what we have done, good deeds. So, this happened, the Buddha said, after his death, he will be born with dogs. Then that person asked the other person, the one who observed cow asceticism. So he, when this was put, the Buddha again became silent. And when it was put for the third time, Buddha said, he himself had the same thing. He thinks as a cow now. He behaves as a cow. And because of that, he will be born with the cows, among cows. It is because of the inclination of mind. This is very clear. We have to understand this very clearly. Whatever we are thinking, again and again, our mind clings to that. So the Buddha said, check your mind. Check up all the time, check your mind. Double check, recheck your mind. And understand the nature of the mind. Always come to the good thoughts. So, when you understand this different mind, different nature, you have to replace. You have to think again and again, and you have to understand the nature of the mind. For that, the Buddha gave a simile. It is like a person who takes a bull across a well-prone paddy field. Suppose a person wants to take a bull across a paddy field. It's well-grown. There is a path, footpath. Like. Then the person, when he takes the bull across the paddy field, the bull wants to eat rice, right? Eat paddy. He wants to eat either this side or this side. That is just, our mind is like that. So all the time, the bull wants to eat either from this side or that side. Then what we have to do, what the person who wants to drive it, who wants to take it, he should have the stick and always he have to tap in this side, tap in this side, right? Keep tapping and keep poking. That is how he has to take the bull across the field. All the time, giving touch, tapping, poking the bull. Like that, all the time, keep the mind to understand whether the mentality, whether the thoughts are wholesome thoughts, skillful thoughts, or unwholesome, unskilled thoughts, to understand this. Then when the Buddha said then, if you understand that unwholesome thought, this is the unwholesome thoughts as unwholesome thought, then you can replace it with wholesome thoughts. Then it is the wholesome thought. Thereafter what you to do is just to make sure whether you are on that track, whether you are with that wholesome thoughts. For that also the Buddha gave the simile. The simile is like a cowherd during the summer time when all the crops taken home, there is no danger. What the cowherd has to do when he takes his cattle, he just let them, release them in the field. The cows, the cattle are there. He can rest under a tree. He does not want to worry. He does not want to keep tapping. Just he want to be aware that the cattle are there. That's it. What he has to do is just to be aware that there are, the cattle are there. That is the awareness, just to keep the awareness. Like that, when you have good thought, wholesome thoughts, you to maintain it. You to make sure that now I have good thoughts. Whenever you have bad thoughts, unwholesome thoughts, you to replace it. It is the nature of the mind that when you think of wholesome thoughts, good thoughts, skillful thoughts, then unskillful thoughts, bad thoughts, unwholesome thoughts, fade away. And if you think unwholesome thought, then the wholesome thoughts fade away, dissipate. That is the nature of mind. So this is how the Buddha explained how to control, how to understand mind in this particular discourse. That is called Dada Vitakka Sutta. And the second discourse, this is the summary of the, I just got the summary of the discourse. And then let's go to the second sutta. That is Vitakka Santhana Sutta. Vitakka Santhana Sutta. In this sutta, the Buddha gave five factors. Buddha said that by meditators, these five factors are to be contemplated, understood. From time to time, these are to be examined. Let's understand the five factors. The Buddha said, when you are practicing, whenever an unwholesome thought connected with greed, hatred and delusion arises, any unwholesome thought arises, what you to do, first replace it with wholesome thought. Replace. Or unwholesome thought, whenever you have unwholesome thought, try to think of something wholesome. Say for instance, suppose you have a sensual thought. Whenever sensual thought arises, you can think of the Buddha. If you think of the Buddha, then unwholesome thoughts fades away. And then you are thinking wholesome thoughts. Suppose while you are meditating, you see a picture, see something, which is unwholesome. Then what you have to do? Think of the picture of the Buddha. Replace it. Replace it with the picture of the Buddha. Like that. For this the Buddha gave a simile. You know, Buddha gave many similes. Many similes. Simile teaching. The simile is like, you know, these carpenters, when they want to knock off a sort of peg, they use the same peg, another peg, same kind peg. Or say like, sometimes they make nails, wooden nails. Carpenters make wooden nails, and they put the nail. But later on they see that it is not good. It's something wrong. Maybe it's split. So they want to knock it off, push away. Then what they do? They take the same kind of nail and put it there and knock it off. Just like that, the Buddha said, replace this, whatever the unwholesome thought, replace it with the wholesome thought. That is the simile. So replace is the first thing. Then the second thing, second factor is, whenever you have, if you have still the same kind of thoughts, the Buddha said, if you have still the same kind of thought, then try to understand it is danger of that particular thought. Danger means, now when you have a sort of thought, you to think that, oh, this is unwholesome. This is through which it takes me away from this practice, away from peace, away from Nibbana. This is harmful to me. Like appasada kama, sensual pleasures, it gives only little gratification, appasada, but bahu dukkha, lot of suffering. If I thought in such a way, I'll have to face suffering, lot of suffering. Like that, think in such a way, think of it is danger. That is the second thing. For that the Buddha gave a simile. The simile is like, suppose there is a person who likes adornment. So for him, somebody gives the carcass of a snake as an adornment. Carcass of a snake is given. One is given that carcass of the snake. Then seeing that the danger, oh, she horrified, right? Oh, what's this? It's like horrified, humiliated, disgusted. Like that, seeing this thought, see its danger. That is the second thing. Then the third is, if you still have the same things, then forget it. Buddha said, forget it. Simply try to forget it. How? The Buddha said, it is like that person, if one doesn't want to see anything, what he has to do? Just he has to close his eyes, shut his eyes. Or he looks away. If he or she doesn't want to see it, he looks away. That's it. Then it is finished. Like that, forget that thought. And the fourth one, Buddha said, if you still have the same thing, same thoughts, then try to understand, try to still the causes of that thought, roots of the thoughts. Cause means roots. Try to see the roots. Roots mean greed, hatred, delusion. Try to see the cause of it. It is like a person, suppose a person is walking fast, while walking fast he think, why should I walk fast? Why not walk slow? Thinking that he is slow. He walks slowly. Then while he was walking slowly, he thinks, why should I walk slowly? Why don't I stand? Then he stands. And then, while he is standing, he thinks that, why should I stand? Why don't I sit? Then he sits. Then he says, why should I sit? I want to lie down. Then he lies down. Like that, understanding the cause of it. What is the cause of this? What is the cause of this? What is the cause of this? Like that, cause of that thought. That is called vitakka santana. Seeing the course of thoughts. That is the fourth one. Then the fifth one, the Buddha said, if you still have the same thoughts, now clench your teeth. Buddha said, clench your teeth. And press your tongue against the palate, against the roof of the mouth. Press your tongue. And beat the mind with mind. Beat the mind with mind. That is, why you are thinking in such a way like that? Thinking, it's beating. So the Buddha said, as a simile, Buddha given the simile, like a strong man were to take a weaker man with his head or his shoulders and beat down. Like that, beat down your mind with your mind. That is the instructions given in this. So, these are the five instructions given in this particular discourse, Vitakka Santana Sutta. Now, friends, this is how we have to understand the nature of mind and how we have to try to control our mind. This is what exactly the Buddha did. And Buddha said, when I did this, tireless effort arose in me, unremitting mindfulness established, my body became calm, serene, and then unified. With that, I entered the different jhanas, first, second, third, fourth, and finally, I realized realization, and I realized that jati, the birth is no more, kina jati, usitam brahmacharyam, I have lived the holy life, usitam brahmacharyam, katam karaniyam, done what had to be done, no more to be done. And this is the end. I came to the state of realization. When it was realized, I realized that it is realized. It is liberated. So the Buddha came to realize the nature of himself and the world. So it is because of this effort, this practice. So the Buddha advised us, the stanza that I recited at the beginning of this talk, it is from the last days of the Buddha. Appamatta satimanto susila hota bhikkhavo susamahita sankappo sachitta manurakkhata yo imasming dhamma vinaye appamatto vihasati pahaya jati sansaram dukkasantam karishati. Buddha, you know, at the age of 80, he passed away. Just before his passing away, addressing the monks, Buddha said, "Monks, now I have come to the end of my life. My lifespan is completed. Paripakko vayo mayam parittam mama jivitam. Pahaya go gamissami. Now it is time for me to leave behind you all and go. Pahaya go gamissami. Katang me sarana mattanu. I became refuge to myself. Katang me sarana mattanu. Then appamatta. This is the instructions. Appamatta. Be heedful. Be heedful. This is the Buddha's instructions. Appamatta. Be heedful. Sati manto. Be mindful. Be heedful, be mindful. Then, susila hota, be virtuous. Be virtuous. Susamahita sankappo, this is the most important part, which is more connected to this talk, this topic. Susamahita sankappo, sankappo means thoughts. Susamahita sankappo means well collected, well controlled thoughts. Keep well collected thoughts. Well collected, well developed thoughts. සුසමාහිත සංකප්පෝ සචිත්ත මනුරක්කත ප්‍රොටෙක්ට් ගාඩ් යෝ මයින්ඩ් සචිත්ත මනුරක්කත යෝ ඉමස්මින් ධම්ම විනයේ අප්පමත්තෝ විහෙස්සති whoever in this dhamma vinaya is in this dispensation whoever strives practice whoever practice yo imasmin dhamma vinaya appamatto vihasati practice diligently whoever practice diligently in this dispensation pahaya jati sansaraṁ dukkha santaṁ karisati he will cross over the flood of samsara and come to the end of suffering, all suffering. That is what we all want. That is why we practice, to come to the end of suffering. That is the complete cessation. The complete cessation of suffering is the attainment of enlightenment. This is what we all expect. This is why we practice. Let's all practice, understand this Dhamma, again and again read this Dhamma, and again practice this Dhamma, so that we all can completely cut off, completely exterminate all defilements, all suffering, and attain ultimate bliss of Nibbana. May we all attain ultimate bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.